Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Of the Monday Morning Quarterback, he is our Wednesday hump day.
Hump day.
At 520 guest, the great Albert Breer. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, sorry for the confusion, guys. It's just unpredictable coming through the airport. So, but I have some time now, so everything worked out.
No worries at all. So we were actually, we just played your question to the commissioner, Roger Goodell, about Thursday night football and playing multiple Thursday night football games for certain teams. There's a lot going on in this idea, but do you think that overall, whether it's this year, 3 years from now, whatever, do you think that Thursday night football flex and all these changes they've talked about, do you think that's fait accompli in the NFL?
I mean, it sounds like it. You know, they had 22 yes votes yesterday, two abstentions, and then 10 no votes. They need to get to 24. So, you know, really effectively, they didn't count that as a real vote. They wanted to table it until May. And if you guys know anything about the way the NFL meetings work in May, the football people won't be there. None of the GMs or coaches. So people who will be against this are gone. And really all the commissioner has to do is flip two votes. And my understanding is the commissioner in the league office pushed very hard for this and really wanted to go forward with this, I think in part because Amazon's ratings, I guess dropped at the end of the year. And they're viewed as a very, very important partner because of the future of where all this is going and, you know, how Amazon's sort of the first streaming partner. And so, I mean, look, like, you know, I know what the commissioner said in response to my question. The players don't want this. The fans don't want this. The broadcast partners do. And so I think we got a pretty crystal clear message with the league office's actions, you know, who's being prioritized here. And it's not surprising. Look, it's not the NFL is not a nonprofit, but you know, if we're going to call it what it is, that's what it is.
Albert, in terms of other rules, we obviously saw the number zero be approved there. I feel like it's a real problem that we can't get a big old fat nose tackle with a number zero, but what are the other most pressing rule changes that you think we could still see, whether it's the rest of this offseason tabled for May or even into, you know, maybe the 2024 season?
Yeah, I mean, I think the kickoff and punt rules, the touchback rules are interesting. And, you know, I think they found some unintended consequences with the kickoff rule, but I think that's eventually going in. And, you know, it's interesting because I think you see it with some of the spending across the league and how teams are allocating resources that there's no question that special teams being de-emphasized. And, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the old Jets Dolphins special teams coach, Mike Westhoff, but I had a conversation with him over the summer and he had this amazing number. It was that over his first 30 years in the NFL, excluding field goals and extra points, there were an average of 22 special teams plays per game. So by his last year with the Saints, he's back now with the Broncos, but by the time he got to his last year with the Saints, which I believe was 2018, that number was down to 7 per game. So you think about that, and you know the effect that's going to have in the way that teams allocate resources and has already, and where that's going and how that number is shrinking. I even think about like the stars of the game. You know, I mean, how many kick returners can you guys name?
Kick returners?
I got Jakeem Grant,
Dave Meggett.
Not No, I'm saying like guys that play right now.
No, I'm joking. That's my sarcasm because I can't name one.
I got you. Like, but it's like the Dante Halls and the Devin Hesters are gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
You know, so I think it's like sort of. I think that's significant. It's just the way the teams are built, where teams are allocating resources, and how we're all watching the game. You know, the off-field rules change that I think is probably going to be felt most by fans is the fact that you're going to be allowed to have sports books in stadiums open on game day now. To me, it's just, you know, that's another sign of how we've gone 0-60 with sports gambling. You know, it's just, it's amazing like that. I mean, if you told me 10 years ago you were going to have like a betting window in an NFL game in 2023, I would have said you're nuts. You know, but obviously, again, they saw the ability to leverage profit out of all of this. And, you know, what is it, 6 years after they told Tony Romo he couldn't speak at a fantasy football convention, they're going to be taking bets inside stadiums at NFL games.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I guess we have to evolve and realize where we are as a society and that whole thing. But it's just, it makes you look back at like so many things, Albert, throughout the years. And like, I don't know. I mean, like even the Ridley thing with the betting last year. And I get it. You're not supposed to bet on NFL games, whatever. But it's like, it's also silly. I mean, the NFL's a partner with half of these betting companies.
I mean, Dustin, there's the name of a casino on a stadium.
Yes.
I mean, it's the Superdome is now the Caesars Superdome.
Yeah, and I'll be there this weekend.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, it's just, I don't know. I mean, like, I do think, like, to some degree they have to control some of it. You know what I mean? Like, and the integrity of the game is the most important thing and should be the most important thing. And, you know, if you lose that, you don't have anything. And so I understand, like, with current players putting some controls on that, but, you know, I think that they definitely talk out of both sides of their mouth with this. And, I mean, if you go and pull up, like, quotes from, you know, 6-7 years ago from Goodell on sports gambling, I mean, it'd be like you were talking to a different person, you know, versus the stuff that he's saying and doing now. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see the way that evolves. And I think also, like, the way that changes the way people consume games.
Albert Breer of the MMQB on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert, we have we've had what the Haslam said about, you know, a new stadium or refurbishing the old stadium here in Cleveland this week at the owners' meetings. And, you know, one of the ideas is how are you going to pay for it? That's always the big conversation. So
yeah.
Kind of as a related matter, if, let's say, an ownership group decided that they wanted to just get a stadium, and they knew it wouldn't pass, so they're just going to pay for it themselves. Is there pressure against NFL owners within the league here, fully subsidizing their own stadiums instead of using at least partial public funds?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, and it depends on the municipality. You know, like where I live in Massachusetts, it's like borderline impossible for pro sports teams to get funding for stadiums. Same thing in California. You know. And there are certain states where the history is that way. Like New Jersey, the Giants and Jets had to fund that stadium themselves, you know. So, you know, it sort of depends on where you are. But I think across the board there's no question that there's backlash, you know, against teams for asking for public money. And, you know, Tennessee just got public money. Buffalo just got public money in New York. And so, there are two sides to that argument. But I mean, as the Browns enter into this, and if this is going to be like, you know, what it seems like Haslam's touting, which is a like massive overhaul of the stadium that could add like 10 or 20 years of life to the stadium. Well, you're talking about a project that's probably going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars, you know? And so, you know, like I think how they fund that's going to be definitely be under the microscope. And, you know, I think you are certainly going to see some backlash if, you know, part of this is asking for help from the public. And look, like the other thing is, you know, there are ways for them to get loans to the league and there are ways for them to fund it on their own. So it's not like there aren't levers that'll help them take care of that if that's the way they want to go.
Albert, which situation gets resolved quicker or the soonest, I should say, is it Lamar or is it Aaron Rodgers?
I think Aaron Rodgers could be done this week. I think.
Whoa! And somebody else's bet.
That's another bet.
I don't think that. I don't. and I say that, I mean, I think any time between now and the draft. But I think we're – I think – I mean, I know at least I'm on watch for it to happen. And I think, you know, like what people ignore here – and we all focus on the relationship between the Packers and Aaron. And I think without question – I think I said this to you guys last week. I think Aaron saying what he did in the McAfee show certainly had a material effect on the pace of negotiations, you know. And that, like, then, you know, you go from there, the Packers aren't going to be doing Aaron any more favors. But, you know, I think the flip side of that is the relationships that exist between the organizations. You have general managers in Brian Gutekunst at Green Bay and Joe Douglas in New York that have a great rapport, that were on the road together as scouts, that, you know, are pretty good friends. And then you have two head coaches in Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh who are basically best friends. Like, I think the relationships that exist between the two teams have helped move this thing along. I think it's further along than people realize. And I think, you know, could they wait until the draft to push this thing over the goal line? Sure. But I think they're close enough now where we should all be on watch for it to happen at any point over the next 4 weeks.
Albert, what's the timeline for Lamar and resolution? And if we remove Baltimore from the equation, is there a perceived best fit, most likely fit, if it isn't Baltimore for his landing spot?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still likely that, I mean, I don't know. I still have it in my head that it's going to be Baltimore, but, you know, I'll tell you, like, I remember going through the Brady thing 3 years ago, and I had that same feeling in the back of my head that he's just going to wind up back in New England, despite, like, some other things I was hearing about, you know, him being done with the Patriots. And so I never want to discount what a player's saying in this sort of situation. And, you know, Lamar certainly seems sufficiently upset with where things are. That said, I think for the next few weeks, it's probably quiet. And, like, this is almost the opposite of the Aaron Rodgers situation, where with the Aaron Rodgers situation, the draft sort of serves as a deadline. In this case, I feel like getting past the draft could open things up a little bit, in that you could have teams in the top 10 that maybe aren't wild about the options available to them in the draft at quarterback. And they're saying, well, we don't want to spend a first-round pick in a trade for Lamar, we don't want to spend a top-10 pick in a trade for Lamar. But if that pick's a little lower and a year away, we'd be willing to do that. So if you wait past the draft and say you're the Colts and you get the fourth overall pick, well, you know, you could take, I don't know, Will Anderson with the fourth pick and then say, you know, we're comfortable with trading the 24th and 25th picks for Lamar Jackson. And, you know, in that sort of scenario, if you have Lamar Jackson, you're the Colts, maybe you think that pick's going to be the 25th pick in the draft next year. You know what I mean? Like, so you're talking about a completely different dynamic. So I think where the Aaron Rodgers situation sort of has this deadline of the draft, because presumably the Packers would want an asset that they can use right now and a player to help Jordan Love right now. In the Indianapolis situation, or in the Lamar situation, you know, like a team like Indianapolis could look at the draft as kind of the point they have to get past before they get really serious about doing this. And I think I use the Colts as an example because they weren't quite comfortable enough to go up to number one a couple weeks ago, you know, when the Bears were trading that pick. And, you know, I think they either come to a comfort level with a Will Levis or an Anthony Richardson, because I think the other two are going to be gone, one, two. Or, you know, maybe they look at it and they say, maybe we should look at the idea of Lamar instead of one of those two.
Is there a chance Lamar doesn't play this year?
I wouldn't rule anything out with him. I just think, you know, he's shown us like how willing he is to act on principle. And I have a lot of respect for him for doing things that way, because a lot of guys don't. I also think, Dustin, there's got to come a point where, I mean, this is the sort of wealth that could set your family up for generations. You know, we throw the term generational wealth around a lot. I mean, one of the Ravens' offers had a virtual guarantee at $200 million. It was 133 full signing, 175 injury guarantee with Beth Surly, and then another 25 on top of that due in 2026 that would vest in 25. So you're talking about $200 million. You know, I just think if the Ravens are throwing that number around, I think there's room for something creatively to get done. And the question, I think, then is, like, whether or not how you kind of reach that point. And, you know, I think part of it is Lamar, I think, has wanted to win on every category, in every category. And I'll be interested to see if the Ravens can get him to compromise in an area or two to try and get something done.
Albert, given the quarterback movement, given, you know, Jordan Love's going to be in year one as the Packers starter, Trey Lance, Brock Purdy, or Sam Darnold in San Francisco, Deshaun here, Aaron Rodgers in New York. It seems like it's setting up for another year of intriguing quarterback situations, good or bad, in the NFL. Which fan base do you think will have the least amount of confidence or maybe the least amount of patience in their quarterback situation in 2023?
I mean, you mean across the league of all 32?
Yes.
Like the ones that have the least? So I think there's three that are running a really interesting experiment, and that's Washington, Atlanta, and Tampa. What those three teams are effectively doing is they're pushing back on where the quarterback market has gone. And they're not saying I wouldn't pay for – they're not saying in any way I wouldn't pay for a Patrick Mahomes. They would. It's, we don't want to be in the business of paying a Daniel Jones or a Derek Carr in that category. So we're going to take a young guy that we like in the building, and we're going to pit him against an affordable veteran with starting experience. So Atlanta does it pitting Taylor Heineke against Desmond Ridder. Washington does it pitting Jacoby Brissett against Sam Howell. And Tampa does it pitting Baker Mayfield against Kyle Trask. Will it work? We'll see. But it's at least an interesting strategy. And, you know, I think for those teams, you know, if you're a fan of one of those teams, probably what it amounts to, you know, is, you know, I think coming into the season thinking that you're in the Drake May or Caleb Williams sweepstakes, and then you see where the plan that those three teams have set out goes.
All right, final one real quick here, Albert. When was the last time you bought a CD?
Oh, man. I want to say would have been college. I don't know. I graduated college in 2002. Dustin, what was your answer? You're on my
so age. I graduated 2005, and yeah. I just bought a CD, a physical CD, this past weekend. I got the new Morgan Wallen CD because I love it. And I've got a car that doesn't have Bluetooth. I'm like, I'm getting the CD. Like, I want to have. I didn't even know they made CDs. I was at Target. I'm like, oh, I'm buying this. So anyway,
they have a CD rack at Target.
They do. Yeah,
it's right next to the records.
Really?
Yeah, it's right there next to the Blu-rays.
How about that?
Yeah, they don't sell all the CDs. They sell like the best sellers.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah, I would not have thought that. Yeah, I probably haven't bought a CD. If I had to guess, I would say probably right after college. Like I'd ballpark at 2004.
You think? Can you remember what you bought?
Oh, yeah, no. No.
Albert.
No. I mean, I think like it was when I was in college was when we were starting to get music for free, all the pirated music. I mean, you guys remember that, right? Like, so like that was like when, and then I feel like the iPod came out like in like what? Like
came out like
2002. Okay. So you had did you have an iPod in college?
Yeah. Cause we played in the Fiesta Bowl in 2002. They gave us one.
Oh, there it is. So you're probably one of like the first people.
We were the
iPod,
only kids,
huh?
On campus wearing the white headphones around campus with the iPad or iPods, I should say. No one else had them because they were like $900.
Yeah, they were. That's right. Yeah, I mean, I think once I got the iPod, I think I stopped buying CDs. But this is your first CD, like buying like what?
Oh, in 20 years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I sort of respect it. I'm not going to lie, Dustin.
Thank you, buddy.
Did that.
Appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think that's my that's sort of my reaction to it. First shock and then respect.
Albert, respect right back to you, buddy. Thank you so much. Travel safe. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.